CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The tide has turned at Golden One Center. Last night, it was the Sacramento Kings' turn to end the Golden State Warriors season, defeating them by a score of 118-94. That's right. The beam was lit over Sacramento, and it was a sweet revenge, some would say, for Kings fans after the Warriors knocked us out of Game 7 at the NBA playoffs last year. The Kings now take another step forward in the NBA's postseason play-in tournament, and they need to win one more game on Friday against the New Orleans Pelicans to make it to the playoffs. It's going to be a tough task. The Kings lost all five games against the New Orleans Pelicans this season. So with that, we want to welcome Kings television analyst Katie Christensen, and we also have Claire Morgan with CAP Radio's Sacramento newsletter here, and also a digital editor who was also an Uber Kings fan and, of course, was at last night's game. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
All right, Katie, I want to start with you because you've obviously covered this team for years. And of course, I remember you on Insight last season when the Kings finally made it to the playoffs for the first time in 16 years. How big was last night for you?
You know, it was huge because obviously the Kings find themselves in a different situation this season. The Western Conference was just a brutal mess, you know, to put it lightly, in terms of you look at the play-in situation and you've got the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Kings, and the Warriors. And, you know, the Warriors, for example, won two more games this season than they did a year ago. Last year, they were the sixth seed in the Western Conference. This year, they were the 10th seed. So it just shows you the level of competition and how every year it's, you know, it's a gauntlet to get through the Western Conference. So for the Kings to be in a situation in the play-in, considering all of their injuries to major contributors here as of late, and to go in and win in a one and done situation, it was probably the biggest win that they've had in a couple decades.
Yeah, I mean, last year the Kings ended the season with 48 wins and they made the playoffs easily as the third seed. This year the Kings ended the regular season with 46 wins. It's just two games off, but they have to fight to make the playoffs. What were the biggest changes this year?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. It's health for the Kings. Last year, they were the healthiest team in the NBA. So obviously having your full arsenal available to you for the majority of the season makes a huge difference. But also, it's a combination of how healthy other teams were in the Western Conference. You know, you look at kind of the Lakers a year ago who made it to the postseason via the play-in tournament. They had some issues. They had a bunch of personnel changes at the deadline a year ago. And then, you know, the Clippers are a perfect example as well, with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George missing, you know, major time a season ago. They were primarily healthy and available for the entire season. And then the Dallas Mavericks, they made a big trade last year, brought Kyrie Irving in. They just missed out on the play-in tournament a year ago. They were healthy. They had, you know, more chemistry. They built up a lot of goodwill in that way in terms of the outcome for them this season. So, you know, you look at all of it and it's like every year has a different personality in this league. And the Western Conference is by far, you know, the most competitive conference. Boston, the most dominant team in the league. And I don't know what it ended, but, you know, I think the number two team in the East, the Bucks, were like 11 and a half games in back of the Celtics. So the parity in that side of the league is not as crazy as it is in the Western Conference. So a different journey, a different path for the Kings to get there this season. But, you know, I think that in the long run, the adversity that they have faced is kind of prepping them for future runs particularly.
Yeah, and last night's play-in had some extra spice to it given that it was against the Warriors, the team that knocked the Kings out last season during the playoffs. I mean, that is a pretty sweet win, perhaps a little bit of payback or revenge. It wasn't that long ago. What do you think a win like this, given how competitive this conference is, what do you think it means to the players and the coaches?
Well, it should mean a lot. I mean, you look at the Warriors and they're, you know, a dynasty, right? And they still have all the pieces, the major pieces together from the dynasty that won multiple titles and, you know, to see kind of the direction that they're heading in, which is a downward trajectory, and then the Kings heading upwards and trending in the right way and kind of in their rebuild and their building of this, you know, playoff team and hopefully one that will be in the playoffs for years to come, right? So when you look at the Warriors, they were the hottest team in the league in the last 12 games of the season. They went 10-2. They were playing incredibly well. So for the Kings to come out and not only be able to put up, you know, I think 118 on them, but to do such a great job defensively, you look back to the 7-game series a year ago, and defensively the Kings had no answer for this Warriors team, and particularly Stephen Curry. And you look at his night last night, fourth quarter alone, the King, he took 4 shots. You know, he was 3 of 4 in the fourth quarter, had 6 points, only took 1 3 in the fourth quarter, and that was the shot that he missed. To see how much this Kings team has grown defensively, particularly since March 1st, which is a 24-game span, almost a third of the season, and during that time, they ranked 3rd in defensive ranking. And that really was what prevented them from having longevity in the playoffs a year ago. And that's something that they can hang their hat on right now, is that they've made massive improvements on that end of the floor. And that's really how you get deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, last night's game, it was a good game for anyone who likes to watch basketball to watch. I mean, the Kings had a lead, but there were times it was just between, you know, a layup in terms of points. I mean, the Kings really earned that win last night.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Warriors only led by 3 points in that game, which was early in the game, and the Kings were able to kind of build a lead early. And yeah, you expect the Warriors to make a run. That's just kind of how the sport works. But for them to be able to kind of hold them off, and even when they got close, a possession or two, they were still able to put together their own run. And the Kings led by more than 20 points at different junctures of the game, the second half of the game particularly. And so for me, it's so huge to see that. I mean, I've covered this team for a long time, and there was a long, you know, period of time where the Kings would mount a run, but as soon as the other team kind of struck back, they kind of folded. And that is experience, that's personnel. And this group now has 2 full seasons together, and they've been through a lot. They have a lot more confidence and belief in what they're capable of doing. And that goes so far in terms of being able to respond when teams go on the attack against you. So last night, you know, you look at what they were able to do, really, really impressive, because this is a seasoned team. I mean, you've got Chris Paul, who is a Hall of Famer, coming off the bench as, you know, your 6th man, and he has had a, you know, storied career, and you were still able to hold off a team that has great coaching, great future Hall of Famers, all-stars, MVPs. And so, yeah, you know, it was an exciting game in multiple ways in terms of the result, but also how they did it. It wasn't last second. It wasn't, you know, a last second shot where it could have gone either way. They controlled the game for the whole game.
Do you think we are embarking on, or we have just entered, an official rivalry between the Kings and the Warriors?
You know, it's interesting. I think everyone has their own opinion on that. I would say it's a fan rivalry in a way. I don't know that it's a rivalry between the players and the coaching staff because of the timing of it. You know, again, last year, the Kings dominated the regular season. They were ranked 3rd. The Warriors got in at 6th before, you know, kind of the conclusion of the season. And where they won that playoff series, I think it was just kind of a little bit of experience. But you look at the timing of where their organization is going. Steph Curry is going to be going into his 16th season next year. Draymond Green, with everything that's happened, you know, this year and last season, I don't know what his future is with that organization. Klay Thompson, it's rumored, is likely going to be leaving in free agency. And I mean, Klay, who is, I have so much respect for him and what he's done as a player. And you look at last night, I think was 0 for 10. He didn't score a bucket. He didn't have a single point in that game. And so their franchise with that particular core group is changing, and they're not going to look the same. So it's hard to say it's a rivalry when the Kings are going up and they seem to be a little bit in limbo right now in terms of the direction that they'll be heading.
Yeah. I mentioned, let's fast forward to Friday. I mean, the Kings haven't beaten the Pelicans this year, yeah, and they're going to be taking them on Friday. There was a breaking news development in the sports world. One of their star players is not going to be playing due to an injury for the Pelicans. What do you expect on Friday?
Yeah, interesting. It was a brutal matchup with them this season. I mean, we faced them twice in New Orleans in one of those kind of back-to-back series where you stay in the same city. That's a post-COVID addition to the NBA schedule. And there are certain cities that have advantages as a home team, Miami, New York, New Orleans, for various reasons. And so, and again, it was early in the season, and I think the Kings kind of struggled early in the year because they were focusing so much on their defensive schematics and their offense took a little hit from it. So, you know, you look at that series where they lost both those games, but, you know, even up until the fifth game, which was an addition based on the new in-season tournament this year, from a matchup perspective, the Kings do not match up well with the Pelicans at all because of their size. I mean, you've got Zion Williamson and Jonas Valanciunas that are kind of, you know, the two bigs in that lineup. And then they have a tremendous amount of size and athletic ability and length in the guard positions. And so you look at them, we face them healthy every single time this year. And Zion has been the number one problem because they have such great 3-point shooters. And when you have to double team them and you have to do a bunch of different things defensively, if they kick it to him, he's like a one-man freight train that catches it, goes, attacks you at the rim. And the Kings don't have that type of personnel to withstand the size and the dominance in terms of that position particularly. So going into this game, Zion gets hurt in the finale, you know, in the final minutes of their game last night against the Lakers. And I had not heard since this morning when I did another radio show at 9 o'clock that he was listed as out. But I do know that this morning the Kings were a 1.5-point favorite to win that game. And so Brandon Ingram is another question for that game. He also got hurt in the fourth quarter. And those are their two studs. Those are their two, you know, core guys that kind of run everything through them. So it should be interesting. I think that the confidence and the belief of even knocking off the Warriors in that first game is going to give them the added kind of mental focus that they need and motivation and belief going into this one on Friday.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I got to talk about women's basketball. You played for the WNBA. Yeah. This has just been a monumental couple of weeks for the league with the draft class led by Iowa's Caitlin Clark on Monday, and the fact that women's NCAA basketball had higher ratings than the men's final. What does this tell you about the future of women's basketball? I got to imagine you were on the sidelines watching and cheering them on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch the attention that they garnered this season, and deservedly so. And to hear guys like Carmelo Anthony, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer in the NBA, say, listen, that is the purest form of basketball, and it's the best version that you're going to get is to watch the women's college game. And to see the dominance, and Caitlin Clark is phenomenal. You know, she'll go on to have a great WNBA career. She'll have an adjustment period, I'm assuming, going into the WNBA, where, you know, you're no longer playing against college students. You're playing against grown women that have been doing this professionally year round because they go overseas and play in the off season as well. And so it is, trust me, I did it. There's, and I'm not even the same sphere as Caitlin Clark when I came out, but everybody goes through that adjustment of the physicality of the game, playing against women versus playing against the college game. But for me, you know, when you look at what Dawn Staley did, and I played with Dawn when I was in Houston for a short time, and she's a phenomenal player, phenomenal human being, and what she's been able to do over the last few seasons has been almost a little bit overshadowed. So I hope that everyone realizes that there's so many fantastic storylines. But I guess the message for, you know, basketball fans is that, you know, I think there's a lot of outrage because of the eyes on Caitlin Clark in terms of the discrepancy between attention and you know how much these players are being paid. But it all comes down to fans that actually put an investment into that product. So if you think it's an outrage that they're not being paid, I encourage you to go buy a Caitlin Clark jersey or an Angel Reese jersey or, you know, a Candace Parker jersey, a Diana Taurasi. Like, put your money towards supporting that sport, and that's where it grows. But for me, I entered the league in 2002. So, you know, that's 22 years ago. And so just to see the amount of attention that it's getting and the respect that it's getting and how much it's grown, even in terms of national TV audiences and all that, it's such a lovely thing to see the sport grow. And like, I have a 10-year-old son that watches everything. He watches the NBA, NFL, but he watches the WNBA, college basketball. And I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of encouraging young fans to also see the beauty in the differences of the game and support it. And get rid of a little bit of the narrative of it's women's sports.
Katie, it's always fun talking with you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Katie Christensen is a TV analyst for the Sacramento Kings. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Kings, the big win against the Golden State Warriors last night. And we're now going to bring in Claire Morgan, Cap Radio's digital editor, who creates the Sacramento newsletter every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you are a subscriber, you would know that she is an Uber Kings fan and, of course, was at Golden One Center last night. Claire, how was it last night? What was the vibe, the energy like?
Oh, my gosh, it was incredible. I definitely think, like, at the start, I felt super nervous. I think everyone I was with felt super nervous. There was kind of some heckling between Warriors and Kings fans as we were kind of walking to our seats. And then as the game progressed, I think we all kind of, as fans, felt like, oh my gosh, are we going to do this? And so it was almost like this hopeful excitement. And then towards the end, it was like, oh my gosh, I think we're actually going to do this. And everyone was so loud, so happy, so excited. It was incredible.
How did you feel? And how did everyone feel? I mean, we now know it's cemented. They won. They are advancing. How did you feel right before tip-off?
I was so nervous. My stomach hurt. I was just so nervous. I honestly have been feeling like I just want the season to end because there have been so many like trip ups and issues this season, injuries, all of the things. So I was like, you know, whatever happens, I got a very cool shirt. And that's that. But it ended up being so fantastic.
A jersey you were wearing right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing a jersey.
Flesh.
Yes.
Well, you got some audio for us. We played a little bit of it, but let's listen to, I think, what is a common sound if you go to a Kings game. All right, so we'll paint the visual. Those are cowbells, right?
They are cowbells. So I was sitting in the very, very last row of Golden One Center, and there's a tin wall right behind the seats, if you're not familiar. And I looked up at one point, and I noticed that there were divots on this wall. And I said to the other people I was with, you know, or I think maybe someone else said to me that we wondered why there were these divots in the wall. Well, I found out during the third quarter as fans got up with their metal cowbells and banged them against this metal wall. There are holes in the back wall from people hitting their cowbells.
How long have you been a Kings fan?
Tough question. So I grew up in the Bay Area, so I'm sure you can imagine what team I was cheering for when I was a kid. But, you know, I've been in Sacramento for, like, I think it's been 10 years now, and I've spent so much of my time here covering the city. I feel really connected, and I also realized that I had been to more Kings games in my adult life. So I made the switch, I want to say, 3-4 years ago. Yeah, and much to my family's dismay, they are very, very unhappy with me.
So I imagine last night, given that the play-in was against the Warriors, that was exciting. Not only that you got to go and support the Kings, but you're probably texting your family as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I was being roasted in the family group chat. I bought the Domas jersey at the game last night, and my uncle texted, a Domantas Sabonis jersey. How dare you? So yeah, yeah, lots of fun.
Well, we welcome you. You're a Sacramento Kings convert. Lastly, I can imagine you do write about the Kings a lot. I imagine just a little teaser may be written about in tomorrow, Thursday, Sacramento newsletter.
It absolutely will. It absolutely will.
Thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you.
Claire Morgan is Cap Radio's digital editor and the writing behind our Sacramento newsletter. You can find a link to the newsletter on our Insight page. If you haven't subscribed, please do. It is delivered to your inbox every Tuesday and Thursday. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.